welcome one and all once again to Dirt Roads in episode 85. This week will be skewed heavily towards impressions and thoughts on games and stuff like that because of what we've been saying and stuff. Partially because I also got to go to New York Comic Con this weekend and check out a bunch of upcoming games. Joining me this week, we have Chad.
Hi, I'm busy here podcasting and not jumping out of fucking space.
That was pretty awesome. I just know that there's like 100 movie directors out there right now thinking about how they can get that into their movies early next year. I wouldn't be surprised if we hit a Skyfall as being the aid so they can actually add a Skyfall and scene to it. And we have Martin.
Hello.
Did you also see the space jump?
Of course I did. Like, it has been 8 million other people, I think.
It's just kind of sad.
At least on
YouTube. More people probably watch, like, Hey Honey Boo Boo or Here Comes Honey... What is that show called? Here Comes Honey Boo Boo? I don't know.
I don't know. I was surprised to learn that that is a real thing, because I thought the South Park guys just invented it.
No, it's a real thing. It's kind of the same thing, the same reaction I had, because everybody kept on saying Honey Boo Boo, and the first thing that came to mind for some reason was Yogi Bear. But no, I found out that it's this little girl, and I'm still not really sure what she's famous for.
Apparently being fat.
But yeah, she has a show, and do we give everything a show nowadays?
Yep.
Looks like it.
Oh, gosh. But that's neither here nor there.
Fuckers invented Jersey Shore. Yes, everything has a show.
Even Jersey Shore kind of has, like, a train wreck mentality behind it. This is, like, basically your glorifying childhood obesity.
Well, doesn't America do that regularly anyway?
We don't.
This is America beatdown episode.
We don't endorse it. I mean, yes, we realize that we're a yards country, but it's not like we're saying, like, here you go, here's, like, supersize everything. Granted, yes, they make it easy for you to do stuff like that, but it's not something we naturally encourage.
Fair enough.
This isn't about America. This isn't about fat people. This isn't about Hey Honey Boo Boo. Sadly enough, this isn't even about the space jump. This is about video games. And we're going to kick it off with you two, who have been playing games that's going to put me to sleep. So, who wants to go first?
And he just a resounding silence.
Right, that's exactly how I feel about this genre, but we're going to start off with Martin, since his is actually a new game.
Okay, I played through my first game of XCOM, and it's pretty awesome. I think almost everybody should already know that it's a turn-based strategy game which has on top this meta-strategy layer where you can research alien technology and build different facilities and create new equipment for your guys to take into the battle to fight these heinous aliens. It's really good. I don't know what else to say. It really works. It makes the old game less complex less complex isn't the right word. The right word is they streamlined it, but in the right way. It still has basically all the core elements that you want from an XCOM game, that being a deep tactical experience during the fighting and having all, like I said, the bigger strategy layer on top of it. But they made everything basically easy to access, easy to understand, have given the game a real tutorial, which the original didn't have. That game basically threw you right in front of the wolves. And yeah, it's just a great game. I don't really know what else to say.
Okay, that was shorter than expected. And we have Chad, who's finally free to talk about StarCraft after 2 years.
Yay! Except less yay, because having played extensive amounts of Wings of Liberty, and now having had the chance to play Heart of the Swarm, I'd rather talk about Wings of Liberty than Heart of the Swarm.
But that's not why you're here this week, is it?
I know. There's just... Okay. I mean, well, I'll preface it by saying this is still, like, fairly early in the beta phase. So things are changing rapidly. There's a patch every couple of days. So as much as I have, like, many, many, many balance gripes, commenting on those seems kind of pointless in a way, because most of it's likely to change anyway. But, like, the maps are bad. The new units I am not a huge fan of. I've been playing random in the beta because I wanted to, like, try everything out and whatnot. And it's definitely an interesting dynamic, because just with the direction they've been going with the map creation and the patches that they've been doing for Wings of Liberty, it's like they're leaning towards a more macro-centric game where players focus more on economy and whatnot than early game aggression, which is great because that gives you longer, more dynamic and interesting games in general, while still like letting you put on early aggression if you want to. And just the general mindset with the design of the new units and the maps and everything really gives me the feeling that they're trying to move towards a more aggression-centric play style, which is especially weird because it's focused on the Zerg, this expansion, and they're traditionally a very expansion-heavy race. So I'm not sure. But again, this is early beta, so that's all liable to change. I don't know. It's hard to say one way or the other.
I'm kind of curious, and I don't play strategy games enough to know, but what do you mean by, like, the maps are bad? Like, what does that entail exactly?
Okay, they favor... It's very difficult to take any expansion beyond your natural expansion, which is to say, you like, your first one. Like, your first expansion is kind of a freebie in most of these maps, but to take a third base is incredibly difficult. And generally, it's considered to be once you get on a three-base economy that things start to really kick into high gear, so to speak. So the fact that that third base is very difficult basically means you have to gain some kind of substantial advantage in the early game in order to be able to take a third base. And the only way to really do that is to put on extreme aggression or just go all in. And I don't like that because that's directly counter to my play style. And
so,
kind of counter to the way that Wings of Liberty has been developing thus far.
Okay.
Well, are you going to say something there?
I was going to say, like, it sounds like part of it is not necessarily that it's bad maps, but that it has, you have to change your playing style in order to actually accomplish something. You know, you have to change it up after 2 years.
And that is true, but there's a reason why Wings of Liberty started off being very aggression-based and then transitioned into more macro-centric styles, and that's because it's generally considered to be the better way to do things. And so it seems like we made so much progress initially because Wings of Liberty was very, like, you never saw anyone go above two base ever because you'd just die. And there was a kind of progression because we moved away from that. Strategies got more complex and everything. And now, after all of that development that's happened over the past 2 years, it feels like a regression, almost, to me.
Okay, fair enough. Anything else you want to add?
There's just, like, direction-wise, some things I'm not entirely sure I understand. Well, they've removed the Warhound, which was a completely broken unit. And I'm glad about that. But there's just... They added, for instance, the Tempest is a good example. It's a new Protoss unit that flies. It strikes me as they were sitting around saying, okay, we need to give Protoss a new unit because it's an expansion. But what do we do? I don't know. Let's give them a new airplane because that's a thing that we can do. Like, there's no real purpose served by that unit. And there's a lot about this expansion that strikes me is that it just
it's very
purposeless.
Exactly.
A lot of the changes that they've introduced just don't seem necessarily expansion-worthy to me.
So, I mean, what would you have wanted in an expansion?
I think there's definitely problems that need to be addressed that have not necessarily been addressed thus far. I think that for an expansion, a lot of people have thrown around a new race that they'd like to see, because if you're following the storyline, like, probably spoilers, but there's these hybrids now. But I don't necessarily feel that adding a new race, I think it's considerably harder to balance four races than it is to balance three, and it's already pretty damn hard to balance three. So I don't think that that's necessarily the right choice. I don't know, to be honest, I guess is basically what I'm saying. I don't know how I would do it. I just know that I'm not a huge fan of the way that they're doing it right now.
Fair enough.
Just think you need to have some kind of direction, and it seems very directionless. Like, I'd be happier, even if they were going in a bad direction, at least if they had a direction that they were trying to go in, I'd probably be happier.
Okay. It's,
again, like, an expansion for expansion's sake is where I come down on that. And, I mean, it's fun. I've played a few hours. I'll continue streaming and whatnot, because why not? People like to see it. And there's definitely some good in it as well. The mothership core for Protoss makes it considerably easier to take an expansion, whereas that race has traditionally been, you've always had to hold off a little bit, especially in a mirror matchup, because there's so much pressure going on constantly. So there are, like, there's good things to take away from it too. Not everything is terrible. But to me, I'm more excited about a lot of the stuff I see going on in pro matches and Wings of Liberty right now than I am about a lot of the stuff in Heart of the Swarm, which I don't feel should be the case when you've got an expansion coming out.
I guess it's also one of those early stages where people who know it better will probably, it will improve the gameplay as people get accustomed to the units and the maps and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. And that's exactly why I wanted to preface it with, like, it is a beta, so you can't necessarily judge it outright based on that fact. Cause
when is it actually due for release?
No idea. When it's done, typical Blizzard. It's ready when it's ready.
So it's an actual beta, not like a Sony beta.
Oh, no, it's very beta. Like I say, there's a patch every 2 days with significant unit changes. Like, adding abilities, removing abilities, completely changing the face of the game every time they patch it. Like, I could see this being in beta for a while.
Okay.
Which is good. They're taking the time to do it right, which is nice.
Are you giving them feedback?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And that's one of the things I feel like. If you're in a... That pisses me off when people are like, I want to be in a beta to play it early. Like,
and
no,
then they don't actually get feedback.
Exactly.
Well, here,
and then they'll complain about it when it comes out and it's not the way they like.
Yeah, here's the double-edged sword about that, though, is that you also find people, and like, most of these places usually have like official forums, but you'll find that people are on the other end, like, oh, you can't hate the game, it's just a beta, they'll fix it. But if you can't complain, if you open, you can't complain about it, then they won't fix it. But people are so protective of wanting to love something at times that any little complaint against something is seen as a personal attack.
Yeah, well, that's the internet for you, too. I come at it from the standpoint you can't make value judgments about the game necessarily when it's a beta because everything's development, but you need to complain about things because that's what it's for.
I also think it depends on, like I said, and I, you know, this is a negative term, but they do it all the time, a Sony beta, which is literally like, okay, here's a beta. It's going to pretty much go until the game releases, and it comes out like 2 weeks beforehand. That's not a beta. That's a fancy way of saying a demo.
Yeah.
And you don't really get that feedback. It comes in a patch later on, not at launch. Compared to something like Microsoft, who did like the Halo 3, the Halo Reach, the Gears of War beta, like April, and the game comes out in November of that year, you get time, they can study stuff, and they can break it down that way. That's what you want to do, and I assume that's what StarCraft is doing as well.
Oh, this is very much that.
Other thing is, like, sometimes you get betas and you get feedback and nothing really changes. I think Medal of Honor was a big one, because that beta was pretty much bunk, and the multiplayer turned out to be pretty much bunk, and they haven't seemed to earn anything with the new beta, so, or demo, because the game's out in, what, next week?
I have no idea. And even those games tend to strike me as being, like, more promotional betas than anything else.
Oh, yeah, most, I guess they're pretty much, and that's the other, this always bothers me. I understand why they do it, but the idea of a closed beta to stress test online servers always rubbed me the wrong way, because you would think you want the most amount of people to be able to play your game if you're trying to test how it works online.
Yeah, no, and that's true. I don't know, a lot of things that a lot of people do doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. And I guess that will lead into my experience at New York Comic Con. I got to go hands-on, because it's a four-day event, but Thursday's kind of a preview night. I went Thursday, and I got to go hands-on with pretty much any game I wanted to, because it's very empty that night. And I wanted to touch on this first, because, let's be honest, at this point, I just enjoy beating up Sony, it would seem, which isn't the case. It just happened. PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, I mentioned this before, I was in the beta. This game does not demo publicly well if you are not an avid fan of the franchise, or a game, I should say, since it's a new franchise. The idea behind the system that you can only win with supers works if you know what your character's supers are, and you don't get that information in a public demo. So a lot of times, my time playing this game was wasted trying to figure out what the hell each level of my character's supers did. Which didn't necessarily meant I got to use them effectively. Like, I didn't know, the first character I played as was Ratchet. I don't know what his level 1, 2, or 3 supers are. I still really don't. So, like, I would try his level 1, and, like, somebody would knock me out of the animation, so I didn't get a chance to see what it was. So I'd have to do it again, and somebody would knock. And it's like, after a while, you just kind of get frustrated, because you're trying to score points, but you don't really know, like, what's the ideal range for his super, what it does, and I actually did eventually get to use it, and it's basically, he uses one of the special guns from his games, and it has, like, a short range, he stands still, but it goes on for about 5 seconds, so yes, that works, you know, you can plan ahead with that now, like, okay, I have Ratchet, his weapon range is maybe a foot in front of him, or something like that, and he doesn't move, but he gets, like, 5 seconds to do it, so if I see, like, three people fighting, I can go behind him and do it. But it's like, it's a learning experience that isn't something that's conducive to playing 3-minute rounds at a public trade show. And the same thing that I've mentioned with the beta is the same thing. It's compounded in a public trade show in that the game does a terrible job of relaying information to you. It doesn't really give you the button layout. I think there's like, there are various different configurations at the show. There was I played on the 4 PlayStation 3 version. They had a version with 2 arcade sticks. They had a version with the PS Vita and PS3 controllers in various different configurations. But, you know, they give you an idea of some of the buttons, but you don't know what the moves do. Again, going back to Ratchet, I didn't know going in that he was more of a long-range fighter, which is kind of odd because he's kind of a melee fighter in his game as well, but... So again, it's one of those things where you're running on the go, and you can't really win because you can only score with your supers, and if you don't know what your supers are, you don't know how to use them effectively. So it's like one of those things where you come in, if you come in with a burden of knowledge, it does hinder your performance. Like, you can go into most fighting games, and you may not know exactly what you're doing all the time, but you can kind of wing it and kind of squeak out a victory because you're still doing damage. Where it is, it's like if it's like Street Fighter, if you don't know how to do somebody's super finisher, then you're kind of screwed. And that's kind of what happened here.
Yeah, and I think I don't necessarily have a problem with that aspect of it. as a game that I'm playing at home, but as a game that you're trying to, like, mess around with in that setting, I can see it being really, really frustrating.
Yeah, again, if I was one of those people who was I follow this game, but I don't follow it hardcore. So if I was one of those people, like, oh, I know Ratchet's level 1, 2, and 3, I know how to execute it well, that would work. But even if I was, that doesn't mean anybody else at that trade show was, and I saw other people kind of have similar experience. The other thing that was popular for people to do, and this is always going to be a problem for Sony. I know people are, you know, people hate the comparison, but people would walk by the booth. Oh, this is Sony Smash Brothers. Oh, this is just like Brawl. And at first glance, that's exactly what it looks like, and that's going to be a problem that Sony's going to have to navigate when they begin the marketing for this title this fall. Well, I guess soon, because this game's out in 5 weeks.
That's really soon.
Yeah. The other thing that's kind of confusing is that for some reason they continue to use the elements from the beta, like the HUD and stuff, which I didn't like. But they have improved versions of it, but for some reason they don't use that one in trade shows. I would think that you'd want to put your best foot forward at these things, but it was kind of strange because it uses the old HUD, but it has updated characters and stages. So I don't really know who's making the decisions. I think they should have stuck with the improved HUD. So again, this game's out in 5 weeks, and this is, I think, the last public trade show until the VGAs, and that's post-release. Aside from that, I guess sticking with Sony booth, I also tried out the God of War Ascension multiplayer, which I actually had a ton of fun with. I think it's enjoyable. It's God of War, so it's essentially a beat-em-up. It's a team-based game. There's various traps and elements on the stage, which is, again, cool. You can open up crates or chests as God of War fashion to gain magical powers and stuff like that, which is awesome. It's a ton of fun. I assume it's only online because we had 8 different TVs set up to play this game. The only thing I would mention, and I think this has been beaten to death by now, is that the game has very gory climax. In order to win the multiplayer round, you have to... Basically, there's 5 people... It's 4 or 5 people on teams. 4 of them hold down a giant sidecast, and then one stabs him in the eye with the Spear of Truth or something like that, and then rips out his eyes. And, like, all this isn't really needed for a end-of-the-game type situation. It's just gory for gore's sake at that point. I don't know. But it's a fun game. I assume they're going to have a beta soon. I heard that there is a beta being attached to Total Recall on Blu-ray. So, if you want to check that. They've done stuff like that before where they've kind of had... I think God of War also came with another one of their movies. Or one of their major games also had a beta that was tied into...
They had Resistance 3 demo on that... Alien Invasion film. What was the name again? Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so yeah, so I mean, it's, I mean, again, it makes sense from a marketing standpoint to kind of, you know, synergize all your product. Granted, you would hope that they would do it to popular movies or critically acclaimed ones, but who knows? Maybe we'll get the Last of Us demo with Skyfall Blu-ray or something like that. The only other thing I think I tried out of the Sony booth was I got to see the Batarang move controller, which was kind of meh. I saw Ragnarok Odyssey, which I hate when they have demo stations and they don't have like instruction cards and they don't have somebody manning the booth, so I had no idea what I was doing. I was like in the middle of town and I didn't know which way to go. So after like walking around town for like 5 minutes, I just kind of left because... RPGs aren't a genre that really owns themselves to trade shows. Like, you kind of want to get into the action as quick as possible.
Oh, yeah. No, not at all. Like, an RPG is not the kind of game that you can really tell whether you like it or not until a couple hours in.
Yeah, and I mean, that's always been a problem with the genre in general. I mean, not a problem, but it's, you know, it's really difficult to demo them. And this is why you end up with demos that aren't always representative of the final product because they have so many intricate systems, but you have to introduce them over time. I tried out Okami HD. I gotta say, and this is the first time I actually ever used the Move controller. And that controller is just really confusing because there's so many buttons everywhere on that thing. Because it has a... trigger, it has a face button, it has a center face button, it has four buttons around it. It has an analog stick, it has a trigger underneath the analog stick, and then it has two buttons on the side of that. And I think it has start and select on the side of the move controller as well. And like, this game's asking me to use all these buttons that I didn't know where they were. And it's just like, yeah, I would have preferred if you just kept it simpler instead of trying to add the PlayStation controller on top of a motion controller. But that is that. Okami, you know, if you haven't played it on the PS2 or the Wii, here's your opportunity. I did get an amazing Okami head. I don't know what you call those things. Those are the paper hat crown thingies. From the Microsoft side of things, I tried out Lost Planet 3, which is more Lost Planet.
Oh, God, that's the worst thing you could have said.
I actually kind of doubted that it's more Lost Planet.
I've played Lost Planet 1 and I've played the demo for Lost Planet 2. I don't really see the big difference. You go around shooting stuff. You get into giant mechas to do a boss battle. And your enemies have giant arms growing spots. Is there anything on Lost Planet about this so far?
That sounds a whole lot like Lost Planet.
There's a lot more QTEs. Which are always fun.
So they made it more generic.
Which, I wouldn't say, I mean, it's still an interesting setting. I mean, it's still set on a nice planet and stuff like that, but yeah, I wouldn't say it's like a super innovative title at this point. No. I tried out Tomb Raider, which is a really gorgeous looking game. It's a really nice looking game, but it's not much of a demo. It's, you walk around for a bit, you jump and stuff, and as you jump, stuff is falling behind you. It's very Uncharted. Like, you walk around some more, you cross a tree, you know, you have to balance yourself up walking on this tree. You walk some more, you get to camp, she sleeps for the night, she needs food, so you grab a bow and arrows, you shoot a deer, you gut it, you bring the meat back to your camp, and that's the demo. Like, there's really nothing else to it. Like I said, it looks like a gorgeous game, but I really can't say much about the actual game. Other than I feel really sorry for Lara Croft, because she really, really gets beat up.
I don't think there has been a demo of a game that shows it off well yet.
I think again, it seems like this is the type of game that is too... It seems like it's going to be really quick time. It's going to be a linear narrative-driven adventure like the Uncharted games. And I think it's just really hard to find. Because that wasn't interesting to me, like the whole shooting deer stuff. Like, if it was in a longer game, I can understand, you know, like, oh, she's hungry and you kind of film for her. But again, it's like we're accustomed to the idea that video game characters don't really eat. They don't get hungry. So it's not a really big deal because it's not like she's going to die if you don't shoot the deer.
Hmm.
And I assume the game's going to have a system in place that she can't do that. So there's that. What else did I try? Oh, I tried out some Kinect titles because I go every New York Comic Con to try a Kinect. So I remind myself I don't own the device yet. I tried out Power Rangers Super Samurai. There's two parts
of that. Oh, that's probably awesome.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's, okay, I'm going to say this about this demo and the next demo, which were both for Kinect. They have a no-fail state in them. You can't actually die in this demo.
What I want to say is, so they implemented a no-fail state just to create the illusion that Kinect actually works.
Well, I think they wanted to show, because, you know, like it's a trade show and stuff like that, so you might fail, or, you know, there might be some type of interference. But yeah, because the Power Rangers demos, there's two parts of it. There's a part where you fight as a Power Ranger, and then there's a part where you're fighting the Megazord. And, like, the Megazord, in order to block attacks, you have to duck, and you have to dodge, you have to right. But if you get hit, like, three hits, and you're supposed to die, because you have a health meter. I got my health meter finished, and nothing happened, and I continued to get hit afterwards, and nothing happened. I ended up winning the boss battle just because I eventually wore him out. And it has those things that I really, really hate about motion controls. I mean, not motion controls, but Kinect in general. One is the whole idea of getting in and out of frame just really just throws off your center when playing a game. Two, I don't know why people continue to insist that the most fun thing to do in Kinect titles is to continually reel at the screen. Because there's segments which I'm really still not 100% sure if I was timing it to the prompt or if I was timing it to the circle on screen, but there's a segment where you just kind of keep on punching at the screen. And at some point, eventually, the game will say you did an okay job. And you'll do damage to the guy. And then there's a part where you take out your sword and you just kind of swing your hand in the air while you're in it counts as something. It wasn't a fun game.
Oh, I'm shocked.
I know. The other game that I tried out was Avengers Battle for Earth. And honestly, I had no confidence in this game being good from the get-go. I was pretty much proven correct in that regard. it's a motion-based fighter. Think about that for a second.
Nope.
I don't want to.
So yeah, in order to do moves and stuff like that, you have to. Well, I mean, various heroes. You play as Hulk and Thor in the demo, so you can raise your hands and then drop it to do a seismic wave, or you can raise your hand to throw thunder and all this other stuff. But like any good Kinect title, sometimes it doesn't recognize your opening in motion, so your character does nothing. Or it doesn't recognize your kills in motion, so your character is just kind of standing there with their arm up in the air waiting for you to finish the animation. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, I finished this, like, 5 minutes ago. And like I said, again, with no fail state, this is kind of set. Like, she picked single-player mode, but this is basically a tutorial. Your enemies didn't really fight back. I guess you didn't do anything for, like, 2 minutes. And even then, they would hit you, like, once and call it a day. And then I saw people play versus, and that was just as bad, but it's not as bad because both people kind of have the terrible controls, so nobody really has an advantage there.
If everybody can feel miserable.
Great. Exactly. So yes, that was another fun connection.
Let me ask you something. Wasn't this game announced after the movie actually was out, and they said, like, and hey, here's this Avengers game, and it's coming out in 5 months.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Was it like that? Did it feel like such a game?
Well, it didn't feel like it's an Avengers tie-in because, one, it has the Marvel's Avengers name. Two, like, it has the core team, it's like the Avengers from the movie. But it's like you fight Venom and Loki as the two bad guys in this demo, and it's like it feels like somebody had there's a Kinect title that pretty much plays like this. It feels like somebody had that game. They're like, you know what, just use that engine, throw Avengers skin over it, and call it a day. And that's essentially what happened. I don't really want to know how the rest of this game plays out. And I'm hoping the computer CPU and the AI isn't this stupid in a fighting game, but for a Kinect title, you have to have them to be stupid, or the person's going to be frustrated.
Wait a minute. Is this a Ubisoft title?
Yeah.
Maybe it is a skin thing, like you mentioned. Didn't they have this other superhero Kinect game?
That's what I think. I think it's Smash Up or Power Up or...
I'm not sure
how most superhero games go, though. They're just reskinned versions of other shit that no one bought, but now it has superheroes on it, so...
Yeah,
totally
but it was a terrible Kinect game before, so...
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like they fixed it, and it's also...
At least they're consistent.
It's also a Wii U title, which I'm really curious to see how that plays, but that wasn't on display here, so... Thank God for that. And then I spent most of Thursday and parts of Friday on the Nintendo booth, because Nintendo had the biggest presence there, because for some odd reason, I think they're launching a system this year. So I got to go hands-on with the Wii U again. I tried out Zombie U, Wonderful 101, Nintendo Land, New Super Mario Bros. U, Game & Wario. I think that's it as far as Wii U. Oh, Tank.
Oh, great. I've been waiting for tank impressions.
If so, we're going to start with tank impressions. Tank would be a fun game if it was like 10 bucks.
I am really surprised by that impression. Isn't that what everyone has been saying?
They spent their entire budget on the name.
But no, seriously, it's a fun game. It's basically like Earth Defense Force in a giant tank. You're shooting a bunch of bugs as a tank, and then there's like a boss battle versus a three-headed dragon, which is kind of cool. It's an arcade game. Like you can use the Wii U gamepad to take a picture of your face that's superimposed into your character on the screen and stuff like that. Again, it's all fun and cool. I don't see picking this up as a $40-$50 game. $10, put it on the eShop. It's add some online play. It's an awesome little party game with friends.
Hmm.
I guess speaking of party games, I tried out Nintendo Land again. I was a huge fan of it when I tried it out with the Wii U experience, and I have to say it continues to impress me. More importantly, it seems to continue to impress people who try it out. I got to try out the Zelda minigame, which I did not try at the Wii U experience. That's actually a ton of fun. It's a very different type of co-op game, since it's basically an offensive and defensive line. The people on the Wiimote use their sword, and they get up close, and the person on the Wii U gamepad kind of gives them support. So they also have to protect you, which my teammates didn't do. So the guy's being attacked by these giant eye creatures, which I can't really hit because I only have arrows. And being that it's a Nintendo game and they want to make it so that you actually work together, you have one health system, and every time somebody takes a hit, it takes away from the group's health. So you want to work together. It continues the Skyward Sword system where, you know, your sword attacks are based on the direction you swing, so left to right, up and down, diagonally, and stuff like that. The person on the Wii U gamepad, like I mentioned before, has the arrows. And I don't really know why they did this, but the arrows aren't... Like, I would assume the arrows would be controlled with the triggers, because you have to use the Wii U gamepad to kind of move around the room to find people. But you actually use it by pulling down on the right analog stick and then letting go, which is an odd decision. I guess if you want to control the distance and stuff, it makes sense, but I still think it would have made more sense to use the analog trigger... I mean, the triggers on the controller. So yeah, that was fun. I also tried out the Metroid Vast one that they revealed at the conference last month. That kind of brought back one of my biggest fears with Nintendo Land, is that how does the game kind of balance when you have less than ideal situations when you don't have five people? And the Metroid one was kind of that. It was two versus one. And it kind of, like, at that point, the ship always pretty much dominated because there's only two people taking aim, and you don't start off together. So as long as the spaceship finds one person, they can pretty much just wear you down until you're done and then go after the other person. So, it's, you know, I think it would be better if there was 3-on-1 or 4-on-1, stuff like that. But 2-on-1, it's just really not that fun. I did try the hard mode, which was interesting, but it was fairly basic at that level. You just kind of shot stuff. They just kind of charge you. There was no strategy to them at all. So, yeah, I tried out more Luigi's Mansion, and I still think Luigi's Mansion and Animal Crossing are like the two showcase games that I've packaged so far. They're amazingly fun and addictive, and everybody has a blast playing them, especially when you get a team who's willing to communicate and talk amongst themselves and not just kind of be like five strangers in a booth. For some reason, they had Mario Chase on Thursday, but before I got a chance to try that out, they took it down, and that booth predominantly just became the Metroid Blast one. Like I said, the first game I went to try out is Wonderful 101. It's my most anticipated Wii U title, and even though they renamed it, it's still the E3 demo, so if you've seen that, you've seen this already. It's a ton of fun. It was the first game that I used the Wii U gamepad intensively with, and it does have some type of prop. For an action game, the fact that you have to continuously take your hands off the action button to draw stuff on the screen is kind of something that I guess I have to get used to, but it is kind of strange. I also don't like the button layouts because I'm accustomed to action games that they tend to have, like, you know, jump is your bottom button, and then your normal attack is either the button next to it or the button above it, but then the other button, like on the PlayStation controller, would that be triangle? Yeah. So, square would be like attack, and then triangle would be attack, and then circle would be something else. In this game, it's like if X was jump, then triangle was attack, and then square was something entirely different that wasn't related to attacking. So you kind of have like this gap in between your jump and your attack button, which I find really strange. I hope they give you the ability to customize that. Other than that, it was fun. It's a really bright-looking game, and it sucks at the demo's time because I just almost beat the boss battle, but lost, so there's that.
Maybe you should have just been better.
Well, they give you a time limit of 2 minutes at the boss fight, but that 2 minutes also includes the time that the game's talking to you when the characters are exchanging dialogue. So by the time you actually get around to the boss battle, you have like a minute 20 left. So it's one of those weird things. I mean, again, this isn't anything that has anything to do with the final game, since you aren't actually timed, just based on this public demo. New Super Mario Bros. U is more New Super Mario Bros. It's awesome. But if you thought that New Super Mario Bros. Wii destroyed friendship, this new Boost Rush mode is really going to destroy people. Just because it's really hectic and fast-paced, and people get lost in the shuffle pretty easily, and you end up being dicks to people by accident just because you're all trying to keep up with the screen, so you end up jumping on top of somebody's head, you end up accidentally throwing a turtle shell, you end up accidentally taking like 3 power-ups at once instead of, you know, sharing the wealth or whatever. And I think finally was Zombie U, which was a new demo, from what I understand, it's the Tower London. The game is very interesting. I didn't really get much of an opportunity to play it. I did meet the person who played before me, and that was kind of awesome because I beat the crap out of him with a croquet bat, and then I took all his gear, but I ran out of ammo when I was fighting a spitter. I don't think that's the official term, but if you play Death, you know what a spitter is, and like the only thing I had was a sniper rifle, and in order to use a sniper rifle in this game, it's kind of like the arrows in the Zelda demo, you have to hold up the controller to the screen and kind of move around. So I can't really do that while I'm being spat at, so the thing just kind of just spat at me like 4 or 5 times and I was pretty much dead. I also tried out the competitive mode, and that's actually kind of interesting. It's a capture the flag type deal where one person controls like the zombie army and then the other person controls a survivor. And you're basically just trying to catch your points. The person with the zombies has more to work with because they have to play offense and defense because they want to capture the point, but they also want to stop you from capturing the point, which means they have to strip the zombie hordes and stuff like that. And based on this demo, you get various types of zombies. You get the normal daywalkers. You get the ones who, there are some who have like explosive tanks on their back, so you want to try to shoot them from a distance. If not, they end up killing you as well. And then there was one more, I forget the third type exactly, but, and as you kill people and you capture points, you open up various, equipment on the stage, because, like the game, you also have a limited amount of ammo and grenades and, molotovs and stuff like that, so you want to open up these chests and get, like, you can get extra ammo and stuff like that, but you can also get, like, a, portable turret or sentry and set that up so you can kind of hold the base and not have to worry about somebody sneaking up behind you for a bit. So it's an interesting game. Again, it's 1-on-1. I think it would be more fun if they had like a 4-on-1 mode. I don't really know if that's in the works or, you know, even surprisingly enough, online mode, because that's something that people do nowadays.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, do we know if the game has online?
We don't really know. Partially because Nintendo seems to want to be hush-hush and aren't telling anybody.
Imagine that.
Yeah. I understand it from a Nintendo point of view. Like, I understand why you want to keep quiet on certain stuff. But I think that, you know, like, hindering your third-party developers from talking about certain aspects is a bad decision. Especially being that it's one of the more promising launch titles, so people want to know as much of it as possible.
Well, in order to get people excited, you have to give people something to be excited about. And if you don't tell them anything, then it's hard to do that.
That's my point. It's like there's no reason for them to handicap them from saying what they can and can't talk about. We're a month away from launch, and we still don't know the basics of their online system, and we don't know which... we know some of the launch games, because those are games that are online on other systems, Assassin's Creed and Call of Duty, for example. But, yeah, they really need to open up the gates. I assume we'll probably hear about it this week. If not, they're really pushing it close to the edge.
We don't know the basics of online, and what we also don't know is we don't even know how the main menu of the system looks.
I think we don't know the basics of the online because they really don't want us to know the basics of the online because we're not going to like it.
I think that could be one interpretation. I think it can also be the other way where they think they have an ace up their sleeve, which may not always work out since it is Nintendo.
But why hide it? But why hide it? What are they hiding it from?
It's not like
PS4 and 360 are coming out right around the corner and copy this stuff.
Yeah, and
that's not how it works.
That's the other thing about Nintendo, is they tend to be secretive just to be secretive because... But yeah, as you said, I mean, at this point, I'm not afraid that Nintendo's going to reinvent the online gaming space so much that it will leave Xbox Live and PSN in the dust. I just want them to have something competent, and I don't really see... Like, the Miiverse stuff, I think, is interesting, but I don't think it's a game changer in a regard if you don't have any online games that actually support it.
I just don't want to type in friend codes, and I don't want, even if I have to type in friend codes, then please make it so that only one of the person has to type it in, both persons have to type it in
Codes, both people have to type them in?
Friend code?
No!
Yeah, both people have to type them in, which has always been my biggest issue with the friend code.
If it was stupid. I type in and the other person gets a prompt, hey, this person wants to be your friend, do you want to accept? That would have been fine.
He might be a pedophile.
But that's the thing, though. That doesn't make any sense because you get to confirm if you want to be friends with this person or not. This shouldn't have to. It doesn't. Like, at that point, they've let go of responsibility. This whole thing, like, you have to know this person has to know you. You both have. And then what happened at times is, like, you'd add one person, the other person would add you at a different time, and it wouldn't connect because, like, there's some weird syncing issue at times. Like, there are still people on my Wii who are grayed out because I've added them and they've added me, but I guess we've just never really been confirmed in Nintendo's head.
Right, that makes total sense. What an intuitive system.
No, I don't think anybody's ever going to defend their friend code. Like, the friend codes, no, it still doesn't work that great on the DS. The only difference between, say, with the 3DS, I should say, is the fact that you have one per system instead of per game, as you do on the
DS. Also, I want to send messages.
I want to send instant messages. Because you can send messages on 3DS via Swapnote.
Oh, great. I can use Swapnote.
Okay, don't insult Swapnote.
See, why does it seem that everything good you can do with their online system is like a workaround that you're not technically supposed to do, but you can figure it out?
Yeah, Swapnote is a messaging service. I enjoy Swapnote. I think Swapnote is great. The problem with Swapnote is that it's not an instantaneous. It's like if your email client told you you got emails, and you want to check your email, so you have to download those emails before, instead of just saying, here's a new email, click on it, and you can read it. So in order to use Swapnote, you have to be actively online. Well, you have to be online to get messages anyhow, but it can tell you it has messages. You have to go to it, and then the system has to update, and it has to check for new messages, and then it goes through this whole process. Instead of just saying, here's a message, click it, you read it, you respond. You respond, and the person may not get it for another 5 or 10 minutes or something like that.
That's dumb. What needs to happen is, I need to have a friends list, I need to be able to pick a friend with my gamepad, or touch his name on my gamepad, however it's going to work, and then I should be able to say, hey, I want to send him a message. Then I type a message, and he gets the message right away. That's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah. And I'm not opposed to them using Swapnote as their messaging service. I think Swapnote is awesome. If it is built into the system on an OS level and not, because the other thing with Swapnote is you can't access it while playing a game.
Yeah, and that's dumb.
So yes, again, there are a lot of, and this is, and I've said this before. That's one of my main concerns with the Wii U, which is why I'm still not 100% sold on the system. It's like I don't mind if it's not as great as Xbox Live, I don't mind if it's not as great as PSN. I just want to know what I'm getting into bed with when I buy a system. I don't want to say I'm going to buy a system and not know what the online's like in a month.
But let's be honest, reaching the quality level of PSN is not that hard.
They set the bar pretty low.
I mean, it's not, like, again, it's, they have interesting services, and the problem is, has always been that they've done it per game. But it, you know, like they do make advances. It's just that everything else around it tends to be stupid. Like, again, I think, you know, like I've said it before, they've had a lot of interest, like the community systems in Mario Kart 7, I think it's an awesome feature if they do that system wide.
That's the thing. I have hope that they're actually doing something system-wide, but because otherwise I don't know why they're leaving so much RAM for the system stuff.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I can think of they will actually have some OS stuff running always on while you're also playing the game.
Well, I assume most of that's going to be the Miiverse stuff.
But I hope it will be more than that.
Well, again, it depends, and we still don't know exact details about the Miiverse. Some of it seems interesting. Some of it is like, you know, I don't really need Twitter on my gaming console. So we shall see how it works out. Yeah.
But then I send you sweet messages like, beat you there. Or, you suck at this level.
I was actually going to say, I won't miss some of that stuff from Xbox. That's one thing I will say, even though it's crappy, it does improve over the fact that I don't have to win a game and on Xbox Live and get a message like 2 minutes later, like, you cheated, you're a fag, and all that other great stuff that people send you on Xbox Live because they're mature adults.
But then how will I have all my fun?
Dude, but that has nothing to do with Xbox Live. That's just playing on the internet.
No, but what I meant is, like, because...
Yeah, have you ever played on Battle.net before? Oh, shit.
I was going to say, because of the way we set up, you can't have people do that to you because they can't message you because they don't have your friend code.
But on some level, I sometimes enjoy it.
I
can't tell how many times I've responded to messages with, you mad, bro? Bro, why you mad?
And the worst thing is people tend to report, like, we used to, and this is a completely different subject, but I enjoyed it. We used to grief people? Graph people? Whatever.
Grief.
Okay.
When we used to give them grief.
Okay, grief, yeah. We used to do that with Xbox. We used to do that with Halo 2 and 3 in college. Like, we would go on and we'd just, like, dick around with people. Like, it wouldn't even be the person's fan who would be speaking to them. And, like, my friends would pretend to be, like, little kids. Like, he'd have his mom call him to get his PB&J sandwich. And I was, because, you know, that's what you are. You're a little kid. You're a fag. You're a nigger.
You should stop being all of those things then, shouldn't you?
Well, I am one of those people. But, yeah, you know, it's always these derogatory things. So my friend would say into whatever people were saying. But I had to say, when they introduced the party system, it was like a godsend for me because I know I got to talk to random people. I mean, granted, it broke some games like Gears of War because then you can just kind of tell people where other people are hiding on the camera. Mm. But it was such a godsend not having to talk to randoms. And the worst one in the world is like being beat in Halo or being beat in the game and then finding out your opponent's like a 10-year-old girl. Or somebody who hasn't hit puberty yet. Whatever.
There's probably a really inappropriate joke to make there, but I'm not going to make it.
Good for you.
Some people would consider it the worst thing in the world. I would not care.
I don't care. I don't have that competitive element when it comes to gaming because it's one of the reasons I piss off my friends for this regard with this because I don't care if I win or lose. Like, it's always nice to win, but I don't really care if I lose. So it's one of those things where you can't really trash talk me because it's not going to do anything. but I am always keen to mention when I win, and that pisses people off to a great extent.
Yeah, it does.
So I have always enjoyed doing that.
I know that feel.
I never go out of my way to fuck with people, but if they fuck with me first, it's so on.
Yeah, some of it is kind of stupid. Like when people teabag and their team say down 50 points. Like, why are you celebrating at that point?
It's the small victories.
Take small victories, don't teabag, because that just infuriates people. And then again, you're still losing. I always tell this to people, especially when I'm with my fantasy football league, is I don't talk trash, because talking trash can always come back to bite you in the ass. I tell the truth after the fact. Once I win, I can say whatever I want, because that's a fact in history that has happened. If I say nice, or if I say, you know, like I've mentioned, I've taught my fantasy football league for the past year because I am the reigning champion, and I have no right to be, because I have no idea what I'm doing any week.
And that's what makes it even goddamned worse.
That's exactly what drives them nuts.
There's a reason I don't play in your stupid fantasy football league anymore.
And that's what drives people nuts, is that I shouldn't have won, and I did, and I don't care that I won. I care that they lost.
Oh, those sweet bits of tears.
Actually, it sustains me. But we are really getting off topic here.
What else did you play at Comic-Con?
I was going to say, like, the rest of it we can kind of hold off on. I mean, I played Crash Mo, which is a sequel to Push Mo.
Whatever.
I thought it was a ton of fun, and I played Paper Mario Sticker Star, which I was actually pleasantly surprised by. I thought I still have my reservations about the sticker system, because it even happened to me in a demo where, like, I ran out of jump stickers, and you don't want to use your hammer on Goombas because it's a waste of stickers. So, you know, it's going to be one of those things where I feel like the sticker management might become a bigger game than it should be. But it's still the classic Paper Mario system where, like, you know, it's time and based, so, like, you can continuously press A at the right time and you'll do extra damage. It's still, you know, it's time and based defensive. You can press, like, A at the right moment and you'll block, you won't block an attack, but you'll lessen the damage and stuff like that. You know, there's little puzzles, there's interesting characters and stuff like that, so. And I got a bunch of stickers, so that's always good. So yeah, that was it for New York Comic Con for the most part.
Wait, you didn't go over to Capcom to play Monster Hunter 3?
I played Monster Hunter 3 on the 3DS.
Great.
The problem...
Tell me, is it called Monster Hunter 3 DS?
No. It's 3 Ultimate.
The reason I didn't play Monster Hunter on the Wii is, for some strange reason, Capcom had one unit of that game in the entire trade show, and each demo was 20 minutes. So by the time I got on...
That sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah. I enjoy having, because the demo for DMC was 20 minutes, the demo for Resident Evil 6, if you still wanted to play that, was 20
minutes. Did you play DMC?
No, the demo was insane. I didn't play DMC, and I didn't play Halo 4, because the lines, like, I tried to play Halo, like, 3 times, and the line would wrap around a booth, and each segment's, like, 10 minutes. And, yeah, granted, it's, like, 16 people, but it was, like, insane, and I hate waiting on lines. DMC was 20 minutes per demo, and then, like, what happened is, like, the line would be, like, it zigzags, like, 4 times, and then it would go behind the booth, so I didn't get to try that either. Resident Evil 6 had an insane line. The Ospanet had an insane line, but I caught it at one time when it was, like, I was just behind, like, 7 people, so it was only, like, a 20-minute wait.
Why did Resident Evil have an insane line? There are 2 demos out there.
There's 2 demos and the game's out.
Not to mention, why would they even want people to play it beforehand?
Exactly.
Like, no, guys, just, you don't need to play it, it's pretty good, just go buy it, and, yeah, do that, please.
The strangest thing, unless I'm completely mistaken, is that they had Ubisoft had a booth, they had Assassin's Creed, and they had Far Cry stuff to give out if you pre-ordered. They didn't have the games playable on the show floor. But, like, I pre-ordered Assassin's Creed to get an Assassin's Creed t-shirt from them, and I pre-ordered Far Cry to get a a Pinecast from them. I didn't actually. I canceled it as soon as I got home, but I'm like, they didn't have the actual games here today, or at least I missed it on my various walkthroughs. But yeah, Monster Hunter, I actually got online once when I was behind three people, and the guy's like, you might not be able to play because we're going to close in like an hour and you're just going to miss it. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
So you were not even able to see it?
I mean, I was able to see it.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's Monster Hunter. It's nice. I mean, you've seen the trailer. It's out there.
I've seen the trailer, and I've also seen some off-screen stuff. I think it looks pretty good for what it is. I mean, it's a port, of course.
Yeah.
But it runs at 1080p, from what I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a port of a 3DS game. That shouldn't be too impressive.
Yeah, but still, I think seeing the big screenshots and stuff, it actually looks pretty good.
Yeah, it looks good, and the controls work. And again, I enjoy the fact that they have these long demos, because Monster Hunter isn't, again, you know, going back to the RPG stuff, Monster Hunter isn't the type of game you can get in 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's the thing. Monster Hunter, I can actually understand why a demo takes longer, but having just one station there...
One station is kind of... Especially being, again, you could have replaced it with Resident Evil 6.
Yeah. But on the other hand, who knows how many Wii U's Capcom has at this point.
Yeah, that's true. And that was the other... I mean, they could have been at Nintendo's, but Nintendo didn't... Because most of the games at Nintendo booth were all you had one thing as well. And that reminds me, I don't know why. I tried out... I tried it out for the posters. Capcom had amazing posters. I tried out Tekken... I tried out Street Fighter versus Street Fighter X Tekken on...
Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Street Fighter Cross Tekken, whatever. I tried it out on the iPhone. I don't know what possessed me to try this on the iPhone. I'm just like, you know what, maybe it isn't as awful as I would think it was.
I bet it was.
Oh, it was worse. Far, far, far worse. I'm gonna preface this with saying I'm a huge fan of mobile games, smartphone games when they're done right. I think there's potential for them. I think there's games that work well. Stop trying to retrofit your games into this device, though. It doesn't work. Like fighting games are probably one of the most precise genres in the industry. You have to be, you know, you have to have pinpoint accuracy, and you have to do things just right. Having this virtual, joypad, and, like, they simplified. It's like, you have a punch kick, punch kick, exchange button, I guess, switch out button, and then you have a special button, and that's it. And even then, I was having too much trouble with this game because my hands are just kind of... My thumbs are really big. So at times, I'd go for a kick, and I end up, like, switching out my characters. And then, like, I'd go for a special, and my hand wasn't on the button right. And then, you know, you take up half the screen with your fingers because you're trying to hold the device. And it was just frustrating and annoying and just so, so very wrong. So, I mean, this game has been out for a couple of weeks anyhow. But if you have any interest in it whatsoever, don't buy it. If you ever listen to me about anything, don't buy this game. Don't even download a demo of it. Just don't. That's my PSA for the week.
It seems like sound advice.
It seems... I will say this. I tried out Marvel vs. Capcom Origins. This game's already out, but it came with a fantastic poster. Amazing. and it actually features Mega Man, which I thought was a kick in the nuts, but...
Also, compared to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, it actually is a good port.
So, yeah, I'm sure there were other games I tried out, but nothing that really, Game & Wario was fun for what it is. It has the WarioWare art style, but it has more elaborate mini games.
Earl, Wii U at launch, yes or no?
I'm still not 100% sold on this device. It's not.
I don't want to be only person on want to be the only person on this podcast who have one at launch.
You didn't pre-order it 3 months ago, so you're probably not getting a Wii U at launch anyway.
Well, I don't.
Dude,
think...
the situation over here is way different wherever you live.
Yeah, I was about to say one of the major things we have is we have the Nintendo World Store, which from what I remember of the Wii, gets continuous shipments because it's Nintendo's marquee store in the States, and we also have the Giant Times Square, the Giant Toys R Us headquarters. So we have two major toy stores that I assume are either going to get daily shipments or at least get them with some regularity. I might not get it on launch day, but I'll probably end up getting it if I wanted. Close enough. Like, I can go to Nintendo World Store early morning one day or something like that and pick it up, I assume. Again, it's not the I think the games are there, but the games aren't there, I should say, because most of them aren't at launch. Mario is, Nintendo Land is, and Zombie U is. I think everything else I played is next year.
I'm getting exactly those three at launch.
Yeah, because that's pretty much it. I mean, they also had Batman and Ninja Gaiden, but I don't want to try that. Especially being at Ninja Gaiden, I think you played with the Wii U Pro controller.
Ninja Gaiden, seriously. They say they're fixing all that stuff, but I think the game is pretty much unfixable.
Sure thing. Maybe Nintendo has that magic touch.
It's still Team Ninja doing the work, so...
It's going to take more than a magic touch to fix that game.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a naughty touch, then.
It's going to take a fucking blowjob touch in order to get that game half decent.
I was going to say something, but let's not go down that alley right now. I mean, this is actually over an hour, but we're just going to really just kind of speed through this news, because it's nothing major, I don't think. Mass Effect 3 Omega DLC was announced. It's out November 27th, I believe. It's like $15. And I think this is the DLC that people discovered on the disc that was removed from the game.
I don't know. I don't longer care about Mass Effect at all.
And that's kind of my attitude. Like, I still need to play Mass Effect 3, but it's like, that franchise has had such a rough year that I'm so indifferent to it right now. Green Arrow, Green Lantern, and Joker were confirmed for Injustice, Scott Among Us.
I was pretty happy about Green Arrow. The other two were kind of a given.
Yeah, since they were in DC versus Mortal Kombat. And we also got the amazing box art that Martin's a huge fan of.
Oh, God, it sucks so much. Who as a designer can think that this looks good on any level?
I think a lot of companies kind of go through that mentality. Like, there's a ton of awful box arts in this industry. Like, I think I mentioned this on Twitter. I was in a survey. I still can't mention the name of the title, but I was doing it. It was basically a survey for them to pick box arts, and they have like the most generic, awful looking box arts. And then they compare it to like stuff like Tomb Raider and Tomb Raider and Aliens Colonial Marines has an amazing box art. Yeah, I wish more games used... Like, Epic Mickey also had one that was designed like that, where
Resistance 3 has a great box art.
Yeah, I think the problem is like, sometimes people think they have to use the entire box art, where sometimes it's just as smart to use the empty space to create that illusion, because with Aliens Colonial Marines, it's just the alien's head and stuff inside of it, and it makes the rest of it's white, so it makes the entire box art pop, instead of, like... And Nintendo's guilty of this. Nintendo tends to, especially with Mario games, Nintendo tends to have extremely busy box arts where it's like everything has to happen on the front page so you know it's in the game. Mm. And then other people just have their very generic one where it's like the action hero pose where it's like one guy with their gun either up or down in the air or walking away from an explosion like Battlefield and Call of Duty and Medal of Honor. And I think
every shooter ever.
Yeah, they all pretty much have that design. Rockstar announced Rockstar Game Collection 1, which I believe is L.A. Noire, Red Dead Redemption, the GTA Liberty City stories, or Tales from Liberty City, which is the Ballad of Gay Tony and the Lost in the Damned DLC from GTA 4 and Midnight Club. I think this is out in November. It's like $50 or $60. I think it's a great package. I mean, as far as quality goes, I don't really care for half of those. Yeah, I don't care for half of those games, but...
I already played all those games, so...
And that's the other thing with these packages. I mean, it might help with Midnight Club, because I assume that hasn't sold as well as the rest.
Oh, right, I didn't play Midnight Club, but I don't care about Midnight Club.
Yeah, everything else is just kind of like, if you enjoy... It's the same thing it's the same beef we kind of aired with the Mass Effect trilogy a couple of weeks ago. It's like, if you were into this franchise, you probably already own it. So.
Yep.
Vita finally surpasses 1 million units sold in Japan. It took them, I believe, 43 weeks, which is probably the record.
Wait, what console are we talking about?
The Vita.
Vita. All right. Oh, you have seen the graph I've posted, right? About the Vita actually selling worse than the Dreamcast at the same time?
Yeah, like I said,
it's awesome. It's doing really well.
I think it's a new record for youngest console. I mean, it's behind the Dreamcast, the GameCube, I think the original Xbox. I could be mistaken.
Oh, we should also mention that at that point the Dreamcast was only released in Japan and not even in the US.
Yes.
Or Europe.
So yeah, and we don't have this in the notes, but Sony. Oh, we do actually have this in the notes right behind it. So, and I think Sony has a fair point here, and I've mentioned this. We mentioned this most of the actually with the 3DS, and the Vita deserves the same shake. That it's not fair to judge the Vita's position globally until it's had its first holiday season. But the problem is that Sony hasn't really given a reason why you should expect the Vita to turn around.
Yeah, no, I'm still going to judge, I think.
Well,
yeah.
The thing is,
the Nintendo actually did something for the first holiday season. They had a bunch of first-party titles, and they dropped the price.
Yeah, and
Sony has neither.
Yeah, they haven't really shown anything that would encourage people to say, okay, the Vita's really going to take off this holiday season. Like, as far as I know, it's had its big game for the year in Japan. It has Assassin's Creed and Call of Duty, which from impressions sounds awful in the States and Europe, but it really doesn't seem like it's going to take, even, I think it'll be Japan, it sold just in 50,000 units in its launch month. So, yeah, there you go. Halo 4 leaked, which is the big story of the week. So it's all over the internet.
No, you have to say the internets because it's the illegal parts.
The internet is the illegal part.
I assure you that is not the case.
I'm pretty certain that almost everybody engages in some illegal activity on the internet without knowing it or not. I mean, we all use YouTube and half that stuff is copyrighted. Halo tends to leak. This is actually Halo Weekend. I think Halo 3 Weekend, and I think Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Weekend were one of the big reasons Microsoft started banning accounts that played pirated games.
Most of the big games leak early because those games are produced in such huge quantities that they have to be ready early on.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, some of those copies get out.
Yeah, and it has, historically speaking, it hasn't really shown to be a factor. Halo's still going to sell remarkably well. Call of Duty still sells well. Mario games still sell. And these are some of the highest pirated games of the
generation.
It's
not going to affect sales, but it's going to sour a few people because they will stumble upon spoilers early on.
Yeah, well, what can you do? I mean, that's the way of life. I'm sure some reviewer would have spoiled it anyhow. Battlefield Bad Company is being turned into a Fox comedy.
Did it really say comedy? Didn't it, they just show
I don't want to even hear about this.
I think they just said they wanted to turn it into a TV series.
Okay, because
that's what I have heard, and an action series. I would have a problem with it. Because on a TV budget, I just don't see it being a big, great action series. Which, concept sounds great, but they just
can't... Isn't that game kind of all about big, really stupid explosions?
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to turn into... They said it's going to... Okay. Electronic Arts, his video game Battlefield Bad Company, is headed to the small screen. Fox has put in development Bad Company, an hour-long action comedy based on EA's best-selling video game.
See, action comedy, that's the whole point. So,
yeah, from what I'm...
I just don't see it work on TV. That's the thing.
Well, I was going to say, from what I understand, it sounds like it might be A-Team.
A-Team didn't work on TV.
A-Team was fine.
Hey. You go straight to hell, sir.
Are you saying that A-Team worked as a movie better then?
No, I'm not saying that either.
Okay, just making sure.
You know what I mean. You can't do big action set pieces on TV. It's just not working.
Well, I think what A-Team did, and I hope this is what Bad Company does as well, is instead of trying to do big action pieces, you focus more on the characters and the situations they get themselves into.
But the characters are not that interesting.
Yeah, in fact, you know what? How about we scrap this Battlefield idea and just bring A-Team back? I'm fine with that.
That sounds like a way better idea.
So yeah, that might happen too. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I'll at least give it the benefit of the doubt until I still start hearing some trouble in the, I mean, other than it being on Fox, which means it won't last this season.
Oh, it's sad, but it's true. Or that's sad because it's true.
And finally, and this is very not video game news, I just thought it was awesome, and we'll post a video with the podcast, the Ohio State Marching Band Halftime Show, which was dedicated to video games. Have you two seen this?
Nope.
Oh, you should. It's a fantastical. I posted it like 5 times on Twitter.
I don't follow you on Twitter.
I wanted to mention it, one, because I think it's a fantastic little thing. The other thing I wanted to mention with this, and this is my mini rant of the day, even though I've had like 3 of them already. It drives me nuts every time I hear people say video games aren't taken seriously, and then we get stuff like this, because it shows that people have a great respect for the industry and the stuff that we have produced. I think people's problem is that what they want to be taken seriously isn't always taken seriously. Like, this was a celebration of video games, but this was Mario, this was Zelda, this was Pokemon, this was Halo, this was Tetris, this was Pac-Man. This isn't the stuff people want to be taken
seriously. So, you should probably clarify a bit what was happening.
They
played music from video games?
No. It's a halftime show, so it was, I mean, they played music from popular video games. But they were also doing formations. Oh, you have to see their opponent segment of that. But they did stuff like Pokemon. They did like a Pokeball. For Halo, they did like the logo. For Mario, they did. They did 3 coin blocks, and then they had a Mario and Luigi run across the field, hitting them, and then it would pop up like fire flowers and stuff like that. They had an amazing Zelda part, which I won't spoil for you. You have to see that part. They had a Pac-Man part where like the ghost is chasing Pac-Man. They have, and he gets, you know, the ghost catches him and they play the music. They have a part with Mario where like, Mario hits the flag and then the flag comes down and the music goes off and then the fireworks shoots up. They actually had fireworks, which is awesome. So it was a fantastic little display. It was a fun show.
That's cool.
Yeah, I like I said,
I'll probably have to watch that.
I will include a link with the podcast. But I just wanted to mention it because I really do hate the fact that people say, like, you know, gaming is taken seriously where people aren't ashamed of being a gamer, except for gamers. They tend to be the only people who are embarrassed by this hobby because they don't want to be associated with stuff like Angry Birds or Fruit Ninja or Cut the Rope or Wii Sports or stuff like that. But, I mean, every industry goes through that. I'm assuming there are moviegoers who don't want to be associated with stuff like Transformers or Battle LA or most of M. Night Shyamalan stuff or Oobos or Michael Bay. But it doesn't mean that people don't take movies seriously because those movies exist. It just means that, yes, they're the most popular movies, but it does mean that you don't know anybody who doesn't watch movies.
Yeah, there's basically shit in every medium. It's not like artists, painters are afraid of saying they are a painter because dogs playing poker exists.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
why would that make them ashamed anyway? That's what I want to know.
Because and it's the concept that it's not high art. There's nothing fancy about it. It's a really stupid concept. And it's the same thing where gamers have, where like Angry Birds isn't a quote-unquote real game, which is a term I hate, and stuff like that. You know, like Farmville isn't a real game. And at that point, and the reason gaming isn't taken seriously is because these people don't take it seriously. They want it to, like, oh, you know, people need to praise Mass Effect for its amazing storytelling. People need to praise Heavy Rain because it's like a mini movie that you can play. And it's like, no, people enjoy what they enjoy. It's the same way that people love Transformers. I'm not going to say that
people are largely an asinine group of individuals.
And that's true in any industry. The problem is, in this industry, it's reversed, where the fans tend to be the people who are like, you know what, you can't like this, you can't like that, you have to like this, you have to love that. And this is the only way. Like, I've asked this before, and I've never really gotten an answer. It's like, when do people actually declare that video games are taken seriously? Like, do we get an announcement that you know, like now video games are taken seriously. People enjoy them, and you know, like we can say we're proud to be gamers.
Yeah, obviously, it's whenever Ebert says so.
And again,
because Ebert has never been wrong before. No. Oh wait, he actually said that he has been wrong before.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, there's no one.
But he was right about that, wasn't he? Yeah.
You know the old generic phrase is like, I may not know art, but I know what I like. And I think that's kind of what video games is. It's like, people don't know. You know, people want to say, like, this is art, this is what exemplifies video games, but that's not what everybody else sees. And this is kind of the fight that the gaming industry is in. It's like, people want to make it this high art, this highbrow thing, when everybody else is like, we just want it to be fun. And it's that constant struggle where it's like those gamers are like, you know, it needs to be elevated higher and higher. But by doing that, they have this nasty attitude that's so inclusive that it really turns off everybody else. This isn't in our show notes, and I don't even know if we mentioned it last week, but Nintendo started a new campaign for the 3DS where their slogan is, I'm not a gamer, I'm a... And it's like, I'm not a gamer, I'm a coin hunting champion. The new Super Mario Brothers 2. I'm not a gamer. I'm an artist and art styles, whatever. And I'm not a gamer. I'm a fashion designer and trendsetter and stuff like that. And of course, people took that to mean that Nintendo's trying to separate themselves from gamers and the concept in this dirty word. When, I mean, again, it's like reading too much into something because you want to hate it. You want to say there's this agenda against us gamers. We're being hated and hunted even by our own kind, when it's more like, gaming is like any other medium. It's the same thing people say when they read books. You don't say, like, I'm a reader. You say, I read books because they take me on adventures and places I've never been or will never go. And it's the same thing that video games can do, and it's what makes video games work, is that you can be an astronaut. You can be a space marine. You can be a war hero. You can be an Italian plumber who saves princesses on his off time. And none of it seems silly because it's the state of the industry, it's the state of the game, it's the state of the genre, and that's okay. You don't need to be a gamer because I play games. You're not, you know, like, you don't see people say, I'm a movie fan because I watch movies. Like, you have people who say, like, they're a movie critic, they're a movie enthusiast, but for the most part, you don't see people define themselves as being a movie fan, and that's who they are.
Some people probably do.
Like I said, there are people, but again, that tends to be the minority, not the majority. You don't see people saying, like, "Oh, I go to the movies like 3 times a week, so I'm a movier." I'm not, you know, people say I'm an avid reader, but again, you don't say like, people don't define themselves as a reader. You say it is something you do in your heart.
That's not entirely true. There are people who say they're bookworm. There are people who say they're movie buffs.
Yeah, and again, those are specific people. In this industry, being a gamer is what you are. You game, and that's what defines you for a lot of people.
Hmm.
And I think that's
just, again, going back to just stupidity. Everyone likes to have things in their nice little boxes so that they can understand it easier.
Yeah, and I'm going to go to that. And that's the other thing is that not only do you have to be a gamer, but you have to subdivide it. You have to be a hardcore gamer. You have to be a real gamer. You have to be a pro gamer because you're better than those snobby, you're better than those infidel casual gamers, and that's another attitude. It's like, you don't, like, yes, there are movies, I'm not going to say there aren't movies, I follow enough movie people to know that there's movie snobs who look down on people who watch certain movies and enjoy them. It's one of the reasons I personally picked up watching bad movies on Fridays, is because I like enjoying things. I don't necessarily need it to be high art, and I know that's not for everybody, but at some time...
The thing about watching bad movies, though, is really bad movies, is you really start to appreciate other movies more. When people say they saw, I don't know, what's a recent good example that disappointed people? Right, Prometheus. I didn't really enjoy Prometheus either, but I wouldn't say, well, it's the worst movie I've ever seen. I have seen way worse.
Yeah, I've seen a lot worse. Somebody mentioned that like, there's a space jump in Knockout, and I'm like, I've seen Knockout this year. I don't remember seeing Knockout this year at all. Like, it was just, because, I mean, and it is interesting, watching bad movies, like you said, it does give you an appreciation for good movies, but the other thing is it also highlights certain stuff that you take for granted in movies. Like, until I started watching bad movies, like, I've never really paid attention to a movie's score. Like, I know when a movie has a good score, I know when it catches my interest and stuff like that, but watching bad movies, a lot of times they don't have the budget. So what you tend to get is like very generic, like either like synth music, or you get very generic music that doesn't fit the mood they're going for at all.
Oh, you can also often learn a lot about editing, because often terrible movies are terrible at editing.
Yes, editing
when it
and
comes
like,
to continuity or pacing.
Pacing or remembering the little things, or just like being like I watched Trolls 2 last week, and there's no actual trolls in that movie. They're goblins.
Yeah,
makes sense.
but I mean, it has like terrible special effects, and special effects I think is something that really, really, really
more like special ed effects. Am I right?
I will say special effects. Special effects are one of the hardest things to get right in a movie, I think, because they age so quickly that if it throws you out of a movie instantly when it's just looking, it looks terrible and dated. And like just very few movies that, I mean, there are movies that you can still say it's dated, but you know, the movie it's around it still holds up, like stuff like the Power Rangers is different, but what Ghost Rider has terrible CG.
I have something that holds actually up incredibly well, and that's The Thing.
The Thing holds
from
up
Carpenter.
Well.
Yeah, I think it holds up incredible. Also, but, great tip for Halloween.
Yeah, I was about to say, the other thing that, you know, again, and this kind of goes back to, this is, to tie it into video games, this is still a video game podcast. This goes back to, like, when people talk about graphics, people don't tend to separate graphics into a technical achievement and artistic achievement. And I think this is with movies. Special effects are great for the time, and they help you with stuff, but practical effects will always beat it because they don't age.
Mm.
It's the reason why Star Wars is still beloved, even though those films are like 30 years old. It's because a lot of it is used practical effects compared to the new trilogy, which is much more recent, but all of that CG looks dated as hell by now.
Oh, yeah.
And for that, the movies look worse than the things that were made 20-some-odd years before them. And Christopher Nolan's films are a good example of that, because he tends to use practical effects, small scales and models and stuff like that. So again, it adds, you know, again, a movie with great special effects holds up well until something comes out better. But practical effects, any solid movie will get you far. It's the same thing with games. Technical achievement will get you far for a year. True artistic quality will make you a lifetime achiever.
that's why great pixel art from back in the day still holds up really well.
Yeah, and then there are certain games in like the first 3D era, the PlayStation, and then 64, which look awful and you can't really play them because those were mostly going for a technical achievement. And yes, partially it was a rough technology that has improved fastly, but even from this generation, stuff like Perfect Dark looks awful by comparison, and we're still within that same system space.
Well, it's like Twilight Princess versus Wind Waker kind of thing.
But that's different. Well, I guess that is the same, where Wind Waker holds up better because it's more of an artistic vision as opposed to Twilight Princess, which is more of a technical achievement.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there are companies that get that. I mean, it's the same reason that people don't really complain about Valve, and they're using the Source Engine, which is from 8 years old now?
Eight.
And their games, I mean, their games aren't technical achievements. I don't think they are. but they hold up because they have remarkable art style, and it works with the engine because, for the most part, their art style is really simple and keen, but it's unified.
Hmm.
And it works in that regard. But yes, that was my, I guess, our mini rant about, I don't even know where we started. Oh, we started with video games being taken seriously.
And we ended up talking about bad movies.
It all comes full circle. If your circle is like an open triangle or something like that. Yeah, like I said, I think New York Comic Con's the last major show of the year. I have no idea what's going to happen this week. Well, we'll have some news to talk about with the Wii U, because the Wii U's marketing campaign in Europe begins this week.
I heard Nintendo Direct is around the corner.
I suspect the Nintendo Direct is going to be this week, because the marketing campaign begins in Europe on Wednesday.
Oh, really?
It begins with X Factor on Wednesday night, I believe.
I don't think
the
tiers, so.
Best Buys in the States are getting their demo units on Wednesday.
Okay.
And stuff. And it's a month away from launch in the States. So I think we need a Nintendo Direct, and then they can start their marketing push, because I think any aid in that, and you end up kind of in the jug. You end up behind Medal of Honor, you end up behind Halo 4, you end up behind Call of Duty, you end up behind Assassin's Creed, and two of those games are coming to your system. And both of them are behind the current ports, so.
I wonder if we will get something like the Nintendo Experience over here.
Or
at least when we will get demo units.
Oh, yeah, you probably get that soon. That does remind me, though, even though I doubt Chad's going to check it out, the Nintendo Experience is actually starting in Canada this week. That was the other thing that pushed me to say that will happen soon. That's happening in Canada starting this week. All signs seem to be pointing to them hitting critical mass this week and really kind of, hitting the ground running. But we shall see. Nintendo's Nintendo. And these things aren't announced until like the last second. We shall have a review up of Retro City Rampage this week, hopefully. I don't know if anybody here is getting 007 Legends. So that might be talked about next week. And I think that's it for... Oh! And we put up our results, well, not our results, but the answer key for the Name That Tune contest. I explained most of it on the site, why I wanted to do it and what I wanted to accomplish. Sadly enough, I didn't really get enough submissions to do anything that I wanted to do. I don't feel comfortable extracting from that, but it was an interesting contest. It was an interesting experiment that didn't work out, but it did give me some ideas about it, and you can check that out on the website. We have... All throughout the week, I'll be putting up various hands-on impressions of games I already talked about on this show, so I don't know why you want to listen to that again. But for Chad, Martin, and myself, this has been Dual World in episode 85. Yeah.